Hello, I am your new favorite, JJ Caballero, and this is Mono Stereo Video, a podcast about movie music. I'm a songwriter, producer, DJ, and I love movies, and this is the perfect excuse to talk about music and movies, especially with my co-host again, my love, the lovely Goins, Casey Goins.
I can't not laugh, when you're doing the intro for me.
I know, I like that.
I can't help but laugh.
So this week's episode is I haven't done a Monster of the Week episode. So I was just doing those that were like filler episodes real quick, or like I would catch up on music news. I would catch up on stuff that we'd watched. I thought we'd do that in between the Cyberpunk series and the Gaspar Noé series. So last week you listened to the Tron 2 episode. Thank you for the response on that. It was amazing. It was the best episode ever. It was the best episode response ever, I guess. We just recorded it just a little bit behind the scenes. We just recorded it, and it was a good time. But today, on today's episode, we're talking. We're going to talk. We've been watching movies. And this also might not be that long. I don't know. Let's see how it goes. But yeah, that's what we're doing today. As a little bit of a breather. We've been watching a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's catch up. How's your week been since our Tron 2 episode?
You're ridiculous.
Or how's your day?
Feeling hungry. I know that much. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of what we're going to eat.
What should we, on mic, what do you think?
Fresh something. I don't want any more bread. Okay. I feel like all I've been eating is bread and tortilla and, you know?
Trying to think what type of fresh, where should we go for a fresh something? What should we
And then I'm like, I don't want to assume that all these places, because a lot of places are closed for Easter.
So we're recording on Easter Sunday. It's Easter Sunday as well. We're heathens, so we're not celebrating any of that shit. And I mean, you know, whatever. I don't know. The chains will probably be open more than likely.
Yeah, probably. You know,
like corner bakery maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that choice. So I don't know. I like talking about this on mic.
I really miss Super Salad.
Fuck.
I do.
You know, I never went there enough.
I don't feel like I went there enough either, yeah. But it was like...
Because there was one on Trey Wood.
There was one on Wrestler and Mesa.
Okay. And like, how often...
And now it's Wex.
Oh, that's what Wex is? Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. More bread. I mean, is there any other like soup and salad? Man, I don't know. That's kind of a bummer. Oh, what about Panera?
That's true, huh?
What do you think?
Might not be too crazy.
That might not be too crazy. And I mean, it's Easter Sunday. So it's a gloomy Easter Sunday. There's a lot of like things that are happening but are getting canceled. Or like my dad was supposed to do something today. They canceled.
I'm thinking on like the other sides of town, it's more like windy. Because whenever we don't have wind up here, it's windy everywhere else.
Yeah,
and it's calm. Like it looks overcast and it's windy out there, but it's not windy here.
No, it's not. Yeah. That's wild. Well, yeah. Weather aside, we're
it's one of those where I just want to be in the bed, like
I know,
cozy. I know. You know what I mean? That's what this weather is, and I feel like it usually happens when I'm at work.
Where's Jason's Deli? There's also that.
It's on Mesa near Walmart.
It's in the same area, Panera. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then there's also like a McAllister's now and stuff.
What's that?
We'll figure it out. Yeah. It's sandwiches.
Oh, it's sandwiches also? Sandwiches. So we're looking at sandwiches, salad, soups. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Sandwich, salad, soup corner is over with. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be thinking about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess maybe we'll go back. Last night we watched Anatomy of a Fall. Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
I liked the duality of... Like, they tried to set it up to where it was making you think that she did and she could have because of, like, the tension with the relationship and, like, letting out little bits of information and stuff. But I liked that it wasn't like you're a good person or a bad person. And they kept emphasizing that. She's like, you can't take something from one moment. Like, it's one moment. It doesn't define your whole relationship. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It's like, it's one moment in context. And like, you can't, doesn't make it reality. And I liked that.
And that too, like, because that was the whole, I think the manipulation of it, like, because mm-hmm. she's a writer and mm-hmm. like, she builds the realities herself. So spoiler alert, we're going to talk about like the ends or whatever the fuck. But like, to me, it's still open-ended, like whether she did it or not, mm-hmm. in a way, you know what I mean? Like, I get how all those things can correlate and how he can kill himself. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's why there's that plausible deniability that, you know, why she couldn't fully be guilty, because, you know, that. But man, I don't know. It was cool. I liked how it went back and forth between the different cameras and stuff. That was mm-hmm. cool. Like,
yeah, and the different perspectives mm-hmm. that it showed.
Real, like, detail. Like, mm-hmm. you saw the crime. And then the whole trial process,
yeah, basically. Yeah, I liked seeing the trial process from, like, a European standpoint and how they set it up to where... That
court was crazy.
Like, you can still, even though they're not necessarily have asked you a question, they give you time to still explain, like, your point of view.
I like that, too.
I like that they still just let it, like, you're having a conversation and the prosecutor can talk to both witnesses at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like,
and that too, like, I mean, that, I don't know how French prisons are. I don't know. But I know, I mean, but statistically in the US, like, where our prisons are, like, just, we push people in there. Mm-hmm. We're shoving men of color into prisons. And like, our justice system is not like that. Like, it's, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? There's no real, like, if they're going to get you, they're going to get you.
And then there was a lot of judges. It wasn't just one judge. It was like, there was a lot of them.
There was like a council.
And then it's like, you don't have one lawyer. You have like a team of people can interject and say stuff on your behalf. Like,
yeah, that's true too. Mm-hmm. It was much more fair. It seemed much more fair. Like, much more like, you know. Yeah.
But I know we're seeing it from a one-time outsider that's perspective. True. Like,
yeah.
But we don't necessarily know how it is.
But all the documentaries we watch about like the American justice system and how
it's fucked. Mm-hmm. Don't ever get arrested, because you never know if you're going to get to go home. Mm-hmm. Like, that's
I know.
Yeah, that's just the reality of it. Like, seeing a lot of documentaries, half the people, like, once they're arrested, they're fucked. It doesn't matter if they didn't do it, they're in there.
Yeah.
And that's they Gestapo can keep crap. You. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have money, you're going to stay
there. You're going to be in there. Yep. Mm-hmm. You'll just become part of the system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love Lies Bleeding. We saw Love Lies Bleeding twice.
Twice. In the back theater. Back to back. Yeah. Like, within the span within of the
same week. Yeah. We saw it on our own, and we felt bad that our friend Abraham didn't see it with us, so we made the excuse to take him to go see it on a day off. It was like the off chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking so awesome. Good. Awesome both times. The popcorn was hitting both times. We moked both times. It was super hot both times.
And it scary. Was. Yeah. Like, it was just so, like, fantastical. Yeah. But then it was gritty and grimy real. And then it would go back to fantastical again. Like, you know what I mean?
It felt like I was... Like,
super real situations mixed with, okay, this could never happen.
I felt... It's along the line... It's like a lesbian... It's like a Blood Simple, like that movie. Or Bound. It also felt like Bound. And that's what, like... Bound is fucking awesome. Like, we watched Bound because of that, too. Like, yeah, Kristen Stewart and... Oh, man, what's the other... Let me pull up her name.
Katie
M. O'Brien. Katie M. O'Brien, star in it. Jenna Malone's in it also. She plays, like... Jenna Malone's also always real good.
She's good.
It's funny because, like...
She doesn't need to be the main character. You know what I mean? Like, but she's still good.
K-Stu and Jenna Malone, I see them as, like, kind of this... Not the same actress, but in this... Like, they could do the same things in some way. Like...
I get what you're saying. Like, I feel like Jenna Malone's the more female version, and then K-Stu's the more, like, male version.
And I felt like you can't have... Like, K-Stu can't be in a Jenna Malone movie and vice versa because of that. You know what I mean? Like... They like, I felt like it's either one or the other on movies, and then them alone, like it was like worlds colliding for me a little bit. Mm. Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. Ed Harris, awesome. Like, yeah, he looks super old.
Always awesome. Yeah. He was so the worst in this one, but
Dave Franco too, the worst. Ugh,
Dave Franco, so
yeah. But I like him as an actor. I like that he could do that to people.
He just gives, and he does the same thing, like where he like does what Justin Long does. He's always playing a super mega douchey person.
Yeah.
But I don't have hate towards Justin Long for it. Other way around, like I have like ick.
Oh, really?
James Franco. Just like
Dave Franco.
Yeah, Dave Franco. Yeah. Sorry, whatever.
Remember that movie we saw that he directed?
Yeah.
What was it called? And wasn't it like a Airbnb type movie too?
I think we watched it on vacation.
Yeah. Or no, like no, but I'm saying like it wasn't. Wasn't it like this group of people gets an Airbnb type of thing?
I don't know.
It was that, and they were like something like that, like being watched or something. It was with Lip. The dude, the bear. Mm-hmm. He's all popular now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
Jeremy Allen White,
lip. Lip my stopping. The score of Love Lies and Bleeding Love Lies Bleeding, Clint Mansell.
Mm-hmm. He did the, with the Kronos Quartet, he did Requiem for a Dream. Mm-hmm.
He's a Darren Aronofsky guy, so Pi, Requiem, Fountain, Wrestler, Black Swan, and Noah. Mm-hmm. Wow. He had an alt-rock career in a band called Pop Will Eat Itself.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like an early, let's see, it says like an early adopter of like Pro Tools. Hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Following the band's breakup, Mansell moved to New York, where he hoped to start a solo career, but struggled creatively. He was invited by Trent Reznor to move to an apartment in New Orleans owned by Reznor, where Mansell lived for 3 years. Oh, they were on Nothing Records.
Hmm.
They were like a hip-hop industrial band. Pop Will Eat Itself.
Hmm.
Yeah, cool. His stuff, like, that sound, that score is cool. All the stuff that I saw on his, like, I know it's probably rad. Yeah. Clint Mansell. I need to listen to the
Requiem?
Yeah, the Requiem one. It's good. Yeah. Also going backwards from what we saw recently, May December, directed by Todd Haynes. I like that movie a lot. That movie had like an impact on me. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. I like his movies a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch his movies, mm-hmm. you know, like Velvet Goldmine. You want to watch favorite. It. You want. And Casey's favorite. At some point, we're going to talk about it. You'll hear more about that movie. We'll hear more about Todd Haynes then, too. But then, like, he did Carol. Carol is a movie mm-hmm. I've been wanting to rewatch. Let's see. A movie called Far From Heaven that Julianne Moore... So, Julianne Moore is kind of, like, a little bit of a muse of his.
Uh-huh,
She's in a few of his movies. She's been in a few. She was in this one with Natalie Portman. And what was the actor's name? Charles Melton. What did you think about this movie? What's your reaction?
I didn't know because I didn't look too much into it before of what it was about. I just kept hearing people talk about it. So I didn't know what to expect. And then finding out while we're starting it that it was what it was based on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, okay. So I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't have expectations for it. But it was good.
Was it a pleasant surprise or was it like... Do I like it more than you somehow?
I feel like you like it more than I do.
Yeah.
I liked seeing Natalie Portman play this character.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't necessarily like a good person either.
No, yeah, that's why. Like it was camp. It was camp. Like it was, and it was subtle camp. Like you didn't know what you were watching after, mm-hmm. like for a while. When I saw, it was a Gloria Sanchez Productions, and that was familiar. Because it's the female offshoot of Gary Sanchez, which is the Will Ferrell and his business partner, their production company.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to me, that was like, oh, so is this going to be a comedy?
It's going to be like that, where it's not necessarily going to make you LOL, but you're going to be
It did, though. It did.
Like, there were some parts where I was like, oh.
Yeah, and that was purposeful, and it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be
like
funny,
like the opposite of like a slow burn. Like this one was like kind of like a. I don't even know how to call it. It was. I mean, it was kind of dark comedy.
It was dark. Yeah. Because I mean, because it's that's what I was seeing into it. Like it had to be funny because the
to get you through that situation.
Subject matter is horrible. It's horrific. It's like tough to. Because there, it's like she was his teacher. Or no, she worked with him in a pet shop, and she was 36 year old.
Like, loosely based off of the Mary Kay Letourneau.
Yes. Scandal.
Scandal with that she ended up having an affair and marrying one of her students that was underage.
Yes.
Having
a kid with them.
Yeah, having kids together, like. So it's loosely based off all of that. Like, yeah. What would happen after all of that?
Yeah.
Like, who are these people?
20 years later or something like that, right? Like, it's 20 years later.
And there was just so many dualities of, like...
They were still together. Uh-huh. They had a family. But he was the age that she was when she harassed him. Mm-hmm. And when she, like, did all that horrible shit to him. And she's, like, now, like, hitting 60... And, like, she's seeing it in her body. And, like, people have learned to live with them. There's close friends that they have. But they're also still getting, like, shit on their fucking doorstep. Yeah, like, people deliver
packages of, like, it's in a box.
It's in a box. Yeah.
Sealed and everything.
Their family lives are destroyed. And and he's just, like, stuck being a 13-year-old, essentially.
Yeah, I feel like he kind of, like, stunted him. Like, he's a dad. But she's so, like, on top of everything. Yeah. And, like, hustling all around. And, like... delegating everything that he's just kind of coasting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It was a good movie, though. He was great in it. Like, he acts like his, like, that acting, like, I was like, oh, shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he really, like, he was, like he acted like a 13, you know? And he's an older dude. Like, he's a charming man. Like, you see him on interviews and shit like that. He's a regular dude. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he did his thing. The score was cool.
There was some parts, especially at the start of the movie, all the piano.
Yeah, that was cool.
Like, it was more, I guess I was expecting the movie to be more menacing than it was because the piano was jarring for me. I was just kind of like, oh, that's enough.
But that was the point. Yeah, that was funny,
like,
yeah.
It's a piano, it's soft, it's whatever, it's soothing, but it was just, for me, it was kind of abrasive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was expecting something worse to happen.
Okay.
I was waiting for somebody, I guess, to be killed.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was too. We finished The Curse. It was a series.
That show was crazy.
That show was crazy.
I would want to rewatch it. It was very entertaining.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
But that last episode fucked me up.
Yeah.
It just did because it was just so like, you're just going to end it like this? Like this is the last episode. It was the whole episode.
Yep.
It was crazy.
Well, he was just flying. He was just floating.
And the way they did it was so good.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't look awkward. You didn't see his pants, like,
bulging.
Or, like, it didn't look like it was a struggle. Like, it looked real. Mm-hmm. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with that show.
Yeah, me too. It was crazy.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was intense. It was intense at points. Like, there was like.
And then all the just little awkward situations or just how they had no shame.
Yeah.
Like, no shame exploiting these people.
The softies are masters. Could do, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The score was done by John Medeski and, like, produced by Daniel Lopatin, 10 Tricks Point Never, who's a frequent collaborator of the softies. John Medeski, it says here, he is an avant-garde American jazz keyboard player. He does a lot of, like, melodica, mellotrons, and weird Moog sounds.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little, like, featurette that I was watching. I need to continue watching it because I didn't finish it. But it was showing him behind the scenes, like, recording the stuff. And they're wild sounds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, really weird stuff. And that's just like the vibe that the softies do in all their stuff, you know? It's all 10 Tricks Point Never, it's all synthy, open, soft, but then scary. I don't know. We're gonna have to do those movies at some point.
Yeah.
The scores, Daniel Lopatin scores, that'd be cool. Like Uncut Gems and Good Time.
Yeah.
The other one that we haven't seen, there's one that we haven't seen yet. I think it's called Heaven Knows What.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That one's supposed to be intense too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this was good. Emma Stone was in two things we really liked because she was also in Poor Things. Mm-hmm. Poor Things we saw twice in the theater. That score.
Yeah, and
was
already on streaming.
And this we saw it a third time streaming. That movie we love.
This is such a good, like, all my clients, like, when we start talking about, oh, what have you seen lately? And then I tell them about that movie and they're like, how was it? And I'm like, it's not for everybody. Yeah. Like, I have to say that. Like, if you're very uncomfortable with sex or like sexual situations or sexual freedom, like the movie's not for you. Like, you're just not gonna see it for what it is or the message it's trying to give. Like, that's all it's gonna be to you is like softcore.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, I'm sure, they're just like, I can't believe that won an award. Like, all it was. And I'm like, Emma Stone's having sex the whole movie, pretty much.
The
like,
whole movie. Yeah.
That's Yorgo. Like, she's discovering everything for the very first time in a very quick pace. Mm-hmm. So
she's become a Yorgo muse because they just announced that they're releasing another movie in June.
Kinds of Kindness.
Kinds of Kindness, yeah.
And she was in The Favorite, which I do want to watch again, too.
Ah, I really want to watch The Favorite again.
Let's watch that next.
Yeah?
Let's watch it after this.
Okay.
That's an Overcast movie, I think.
Fuck yeah, I love that movie. Mm-hmm. Damn, we need it. What should we eat then? What do we do?
That's why we gotta have something good, something cozy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, should we go to Ruli's? Is it open?
We'll see right now. We'll check right now. I was also thinking Sabretooth too, but Ruli's sounds better because the soup.
I know, but then I'm like, that's more potato and bun.
I know.
But I mean, what would we get at Sabretooth? Fish tacos?
Yeah. I mean, soup and that salad.
At Ruli's. Mm-hmm, that's true. I could totally do that.
I could do that too.
All right. See, there you go.
Yeah.
Decision made. Ruli's and The Favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was I going to say?
Well, yeah. Well, let's, I think, I mean, yeah. What were you going to say? Like, The Favorite, Emma Stone.
Oh, The Favorite. Like, Emma Stone, I feel, has a lot of range.
Yeah.
And I still remember describing her to you as our generation's Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Because she's been put in roles that I don't think a lot of people would necessarily, like, put her in because she's not considered, like, American pretty, you know what I mean? Like, or, like, a hot, you know what I mean? Like, person. Like, I feel like she does have very, like, she's very average looking to me. Like, there's nothing particularly, like, but she has those big eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have a lot of lips, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, she's not very, like, you wouldn't see her and see, like, she's not a vixen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's just an average,
but
she has that, like, that's what I like about her. Like, Meryl Streep, like, she wasn't, like, a sex icon or anything, but she could play the role. Like, she got the assignment. Like, she would do the role that you picked for her. Like, Meryl Streep could do, like, super serious, and then she did fucking, Death Becomes Her. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't take herself so seriously, but she can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with Emma Stone, it's the same. Like, she can do the role. Like,
I'm just trying to think
she's been in period piece. She's been in modern. She's been in comedy. Like,
Meryl Streep, but somebody else, though, because I'm thinking
of I know it's not a good, like, comparison. It is a good one, but I'm trying to.
Yeah, but yes, like, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Like, too. I feel like she's a big deal.
Yeah. No, yeah. But I guess what I'm saying too, like, did Meryl Streep start young too?
Yeah.
Like, how young was she?
Meryl Streep started young, and she did a lot of theater stuff.
Okay.
But, like, Meryl Streep, hold on, let's see.
Because, like,
I'm not like Meryl Streep mega fan or anything
Yeah.
I know, I don't know everything.
Like, Emma Stone, like, super bad, and, like, she was in easy, like, teen movies, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Like she was on, like, a Lindsay Lohan track, but she was successful. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
she made her stage debut in Trelawney of Wells in 1975.
Okay.
And she got a Tony for it.
Okay.
So in 19, she was born, let's see. She was born in 1949.
Okay.
So 49 to 75. 26. She was 26 years old. 26. And won a Tony.
Where is my math going?
What I don't, fuck? I'm like, I don't do math.
Where's my math going?
But yeah, let's see.
The Poor Things score is by this dude named Jerskin Fendricks. It's weird, the weird sounds.
Like, metallic, it's not clinky. Necessarily considered music. Yes, you know what I mean?
It's tones. Like,
it's sensory.
Sensory, it's sensory stuff. This movie is a big sensory overload.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what were you going to say about Marilyn? Sorry.
No. She just, like, right off from the bat, she just was winning awards. You know what I mean? Like, okay. She did, did her first feature film. She was in Julia. She won her first primetime Emmy for a miniseries called The Holocaust.
Uh-huh.
Her first Oscar nomination for The Deer Hunter. She won an Academy Award for Kramer versus Kramer, followed by an Academy Award for Sophie's Choice, like, a couple years later. Like, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And then she did that Out of Africa, Death Becomes Her, Bridges of Madison County. That one was, like, a big fucking deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just very consistent, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm reading about I pulled up the book that Poor Things was based on. It's pretty there. I don't know how many, I don't know if it was like a big book.
Mm.
Yeah, like.
Like, she's won three, but she's been nominated, like, so many times.
Who, Meryl Streep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's best actress nomination for...
So much.
Like, almost all her movies.
Wow. Emma Stone's working up a career. Yeah, she's... I'm glad she got with Yorgo. Like, I'm glad, like...
Yes, that combination has been good. I feel like if you're gonna do a movie, if he picks you to do a movie, like...
You gotta be in.
Be so excited, because it's gonna be fucking weird and different. Like, it's not... Like, you're gonna watch a Yorgos movie, like, The Favorite? No. The Lobster.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie so many fucking times, and it's hilarious to me. And it's funny because me and Lee, like, we'll always end up talking about it. And he was just like, oh, I just can't with that movie. He's like, I fall asleep every time. He's like, I think it's boring. And I'm like, I think it's hilarious because it's not like Dumb and Dumber where it's like in your face, slapstick, whatever. So but it's so dry. It's so dry, but it's so funny. Like, it's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of his movies, yeah. This, I think, is the most animated I feel people are. Even though, like, there's some parts where they're just, like, saying da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Like
there's very serious situations, but they're just silly people in them. Like,
they're silly.
Because think characters. About it, like, she's doing all these things, but it's because she's developing rapidly, but she's still, like, what, like a 9-year-old, you know what I mean? Like, which I get, too, that's also kind of creepy. Like,
what I mean?
But it's also, think about the first time, like, the first time you masturbated. Like, it's not like you were, you know what I mean? You discover that, like, for the first time. Like, you're little. Most kids are little. Like, you get shame around it because other people tell you that's not nice and whatever. Like,
that seems to be a thing that Yorgo does, like, explore in his movies, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
sexual discovery. Uh-huh. Like,
and even, like, harmful stuff. Like, he's dirty. He's got dirty movies, but it's done... He does art films.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does art films that are, like, pretty sometimes intense and shit, too. And it comes out of that school. Like, he gets stuff on camera that you're like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did I just watch that?
Like, oh, I can't believe he just did that. Like, I can't believe he made them do that. Uh-huh, like, you know? Uh-huh.
Ah, that was cool.
Like, imagine being asked by somebody to do these things that they have to make you feel very comfortable.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you have to feel so comfortable.
Yeah. All those scenes with Mark Ruffalo in it, too. Like, like.
And that was, I guess I shouldn't have been as surprised as I was of, I guess, him being, like, exploited sexually in this movie. Because I don't necessarily, like, think of Mark Ruffalo in that way. But he was on that movie with Meg Ryan. Remember?
Oh, yeah, in the cut.
In the cut.
Yeah.
And And that one was a very, like, it was like, oh, that was a nitty gritty. Like,
yeah, I want to watch in the cut.
And I feel like a lot of Meg Ryan fans kind of swept it under the rug because they were like, that's not my Meg Ryan. Like, you know what I mean? But it was.
It's come back as like a new classic.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Since people are rediscovering Jane Campion's movies and her work after like The Power of the Dog and everything.
Yep.
Like,
oh, that movie's good.
That movie's good too. I want to watch in the cut too. Mm-hmm. The favorite thing in the cut or what? Fuck movie evening.
Calm down. Calm it down.
Yeah, we've been watching some good shit recently. We also what other series? Like, I mean, there was that Nickelodeon series,
documentaries that were pretty fucked up for kids.
Yeah, pretty fucked up. The Program on Netflix. That was fucked up.
That one really made me angry.
Me too.
About parents.
Oh yeah.
Like parents that have too much money and don't like
take care of your fucking kids.
Yeah, like okay, your kid's bad. Like, dude, he's like. You know what I mean? Like, these kids weren't, like, the worst of the worst kids. They were, like, little, like...
Yeah.
You know, they were teenagers. They were doing little shitty teenager shit. Like, you know what I mean? But it didn't warrant the way they were getting treated or the punishments they received. Like, that's traumatizing. Like, that is, like, jail. American
jail. That's jail. They went to jail. These little kids went to jail.
You don't go in there being a bad person, but you come out of there being a bad person because of all the trauma and fucked up shit that you deal with every day. Like, all those kids didn't have a drug problem maybe going in there, but after the fact,
of course. Of course they did.
Lots of them turned into alcoholics and pill poppers and substance abuse. Like, so sad.
Yeah, that
and
shit.
And the main theme of the program that really got me was how they didn't believe me.
Yeah.
And how she broke down at the end and she was like, I made this documentary so that I could show my dad.
Yep.
Like, I just wanted to show him. And then she revealed all these other things that were happening to a million other kids. And it was just like, I wanted my dad. They didn't believe me. Like, hearing all of them say they didn't believe me is just like... How ugly. And this is why people don't say and they don't tell the truth because nobody believes them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially like with Me Too and stuff. Like, well, why didn't they say anything when it happened? It's because like people, they probably did and people just pushed
and
it off to the side.
Because like, well, probably because if they did, they would have lost the job that they were barely making ends meet with to begin with.
Even those stories of like the women that did tell the cops and the cops didn't do shit.
Exactly. You tell them and then they make you feel dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what were you wearing? And what was this? And how much did you drink? And then it's like, fuck you. Like, that doesn't give somebody else a right to violate another person's body.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
And then just like like their teacher that they called, and she was like, I was the one that was good to you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like cry bully shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the world's full of now. It's cry bullies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they can do it to you, but you can't do it to them type shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what the world's full of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those documentaries were hardcore. The Nickelodeon one was pretty sad and hardcore too. Like, I had more, I think I felt it more because Casey.
You saw more of
those shows. I saw more of those shows. I kind
of
saw, like, they were still kind of like in Chapo's era. So, you know? But that was hardcore. Poor, you know, those people, I feel for everybody out there. Like, I'm glad those things are out there so people can see the reality of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And,
It's just like, don't.
Watch your kids. Take care of your kids.
Yeah, like don't take turn care your kid into a kids. Commodity. Don't make money off your kids.
Yes, that too. It's all this save our children. Like if you're going to really worry about kids, like don't put kids
don't
in pageants.
Them.
Don't exploit them in this. Watch them. Watch like if you're going to worry, like there's a whole TikTok thing going on now where they're trying to ban it. In Florida, they banned social media for kids 13 and under.
Mm.
And that's like a free, first, that's, I for me, okay, kids on social media, whatever, that it kind of sucks. But that's still a freedom of speech issue.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same point, like, parents, watch what their fucking kids are doing. Like,
exactly. Or it should be a thing of, like, you can't request or message somebody that's under a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're like, they got like, they confirm that they're a relative, or they confirm something.
Parental controls.
Yeah.
There are parental controls.
Can't request, like, even like people can't request or message if they're under a certain age.
Guys, I control the amount of time I consume my social media. It doesn't always work, but I'm starting. If I can do it for myself, you can do it for your kids. There's.
But that's why the internet turned into a babysitter. Mm-hmm. It was easier to, get on your tablet. And it's like, they're not always watching, like, the educational. They're not always watching, like,
because there isn't educational shit. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, there's some stuff I get.
There is. But, like, how can I say it? Yes, China is, like, a pretty authoritarian country. But also, like, their version of TikTok, right? Doesn't have what our versions of TikTok. That's not in. It might be inundated with certain ads or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, they do have like educational stuff. They don't have a lot of like the conspiracy theorists who are fucking talking shit. They don't have the McDonald's acting like this is an actual story type shit. They have like a very regulated version, and it's like, then do that. Like, you could do that here. Like, but I don't know. It's whatever it is. But, you know, there's some good movies out there to ignore all this shit on. Like, you could dip into a different world. And you know, you gotta be knowledgeable about what's going on around you. But also, there's some amazing art that you can take the time to indulge in. And that's why we're here. And that's why you're listening to us. And thank you for listening to us. Anything you're excited to... What's up?
I just saw... Release closes at 4.
Fuck. Fuck. Fucking fuck.
Yep.
Do you think they'll do it to go?
No, it's already 3:20. Like, there's no sense. I wouldn't want to bother.
I'm sorry. I feel this episode.
No, it's fine. We're going to find some. There's.
Okay.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
Well, thank you very much. Are you looking forward to anything on anything coming out?
There's a few movies coming out that I cannot name off the top of my head, but
I want to watch Late Night with the Devil.
I want to see Late Night with the Devil. I heard that one's really good. Yeah. We also saw Dune.
Dune Part 2. Oof,
so good.
I want to watch it again.
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
But yeah, there's a few movies that are coming out that I'm looking forward to. Always looking forward to.
Yeah. We started watching Vamps yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That Vamps, Amy the one. That one was so sad.
So bad. So bad. It was so bad. I had to stop it. I couldn't even fall asleep.
I'm surprised you let it stay on for as long as it did. Just like, I'm going to go to sleep now.
I was trying, like, I was like, well, this is just a bad movie.
It was so horrible.
Yeah, but it was so bad. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so bad. Ugh. Watch Clueless instead. Watch Clueless instead. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was a good episode. You can find Casey at the Casey's Harry and deepcuts_EP, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can find us at Mono Stereo Video at Mono Stereo Video. Me at _JJCABALLERO. Thank you very much. You can like us and subscribe and share us and Tell your friends about us if you know friends that like music and movies. Mm-hmm. And www.jjcaballero.com. That thing's fixed. And yeah, next week we start on Gaspar Noé. So watch Into the Void. Watch Climax. Watch Love, wherever you can find them. And we'll listen to you later.